Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Eat, Sleep, Suplex, Retweet.
You sit there with your draft picks, waiting on some appearance points to save you from your fourth place. But hello there. You're listening to Saturday Draft Live, brought to you by way of fabulous Suplex Retreat Extra, which you can find on all Android podcasting sites, Anchor, Spotify, iTunes, all the sites there. Same as Eat Sleep Suplex Retreat's main feed, where our most recent show was all about the game, Triple H. My name is Scott McLeod, one of your usual hosts for Saturday Draft Live, here with my usual co-host, first off, Jack. Jack, I was wondering if you'd answer a couple of questions for me.
Aye, of course, fire ahead.
Can you tell me, who's got gas in the tank? Can you tell me, who's got money in the bank? The answer to that question is neither of you, because even though I said last week there was a 66 2/3% chance, Steiner approved and asked that either your pick or Dave's pick would come out as Miss Money in the Bank. That prick Ross's pick happened to get the points for Money in the Bank. So I'm not angry, I'm just very disappointed at you both.
No, what's the worst thing? You didn't even make up to the final bit of the roof. That's what hurts the most.
I know. And also, I'm joined as usual by our stats man, David Hockney.
How you doing, Scott?
I'm doing very well. As I said, this is Suplex Retreat Extra, and I mentioned where you can find us. You should also stay tuned to Suplex Retreat Extra for some upcoming quizzes, like the quiz me and David will be a part of that we're recording later today, hosted by Daniel Campbell, which also features Alan McLucas and Kwakwaje. It will be on Suplex Retreat Extra in an audio format, but also in a video format for Suplex Retreat YouTube channel in the next couple of days, hopefully. Dave, I'm very much looking forward to this quiz. It's very much a two-horse race, to be honest with you.
Yep, I think this one time we can agree on quiz formats here. Like, it's always, like, I think David Campbell summed it up best. You know, it's fight forever between us two. But and we always put in our best performances with these quizzes. So all I can say is, you know, good luck, and I hope you give me a good run for my money yet again.
Oh, I'll be sure to. And that's not the only quiz, because we're quizzed after you're on Suplex Retreat. Ross will be hosting a Money in the Bank quiz that will be coming out soon to determine the new Suplex Retreat spare change in the tin holder between Alan, again, you can't get enough of the bloody quizzes, Alan Lucas, Sarah Grieve, and Andy Mitchell. And I think I'd like to formally say that I'm putting all of my support behind Andy Mitchell, because Andy, you're a star. Maybe in no one else's eyes but mine. But Andy, you're a star.
Yeah, I think Andy's kind of like the Otis with this quiz right now. You know, nobody's expecting him to come out on top. He's not had much success when it comes to championships or sweets. But at the same time, you can't help but root for him.
Yeah, of course. And we mentioned, like, many of the annoying thing about Otis as well, Ross obviously benefited greatly from Asuka's winning. You know, she's on her team, even though I said a few weeks ago she might be one of the picks that harms him, so it shows what I know. The thing with Otis at the moment, and the fact that Tucker's not been nowhere seen in weeks, Stephen Wilson has Seven Machine as his tag team, so because there's obviously no Tucker, Stephen doesn't even get any points for Otis winning, so this big shock win happens and it benefits nobody on the draft table.
Yeah, how selfish. Probably a blessing in disguise, isn't it?
Yeah, but he's so selfish, you know, leaving, picking Heavy Machinery as a tag team only for Otis to break out as a single star.
I know. What a selfish boy that Wilson is. He's always been the same.
Ah, he's a prick. We don't really want to speak much of that name, to be fair. So,
I know. You know, noticeable I get once again by his absence this week on the show.
It's becoming nothing short of a joke, to be fair now. This is for how many, three, four shows this has been now? Mm-hmm. This happened in the first week. He's still not showed. Oh, it's just a simple question. I just want to ask one question, you know what I mean? He's ducking and diving. Mm. He's clearly fear that something that's going to play a big factor at the end. Obviously, we'll wait and see what happens. But I'm not a fan of shite bags, and that's what Steven's turned it to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, talking of like that decision, we also know why you're annoyed, Steven, about the points for Shayna Baszler. Something Ross was annoyed at Trinity, and I'm curious to get both of you guys' opinion. Basically, get your thoughts. Do you believe that Ross should have got different points for Asuka being awarded basically the title on Raw as championship points, or because obviously it revealed that the title, not that the Money in the Bank was actually for the title, decision that did stand by Steven, like, is the right one, and that Ross did not get any extra points?
Yeah, I think that was the right decision, because, I mean, obviously we assume that, you know, the Money in the Bank counts as a title win. That's how we've treated this, but it's sort of like, you know, plot twist at the end, as soon as the match is won, oh, ta-da, it was actually for the title. So Ross still does get points in a pay-per-view title win format, but, you know, it's just not been revealed until the day after, because nothing's really changed. You know, there's been no cash-in. It's basically, you know, he just gets points for Money in the Bank, essentially.
I get his gripe, to be fair, because if it happened to me, I'd be shouting and railing about getting these extra points. But it's a bit of a... It's like one very thin straw you're kind of clutching at to try and grab, and you're probably going to miss, because... As has been said, obviously, you've won Money in the Bank. It turns out Money in the Bank's a title match. So you've already got the points for the title match in a way. So now I begrudgingly would side with Stephen on this one, prick.
Yeah, I think I understand like the reason behind it. Also, we didn't know at the time when she won Money in the Bank that it was actually for the title. And it is one of the things you have to consider. Like, it's easy to say, no, you shouldn't get any extra points for that, but then we could all easily be in the same position. You've got to think, how would I feel if I was losing it in the points? Because even the smallest amount of points can mean the difference with this draft. And with that, I think we move now into the top three for this week. And I think Money in the Bank, again, played a major factor in who the top three is this week, as I think the first time since we started this new season, we have a tag team in the top three. We have the New Day, which is Guy Kernan's tag team, with 11 points. A strong defence at Money in the Bank, David. And I think New Day, the last few seasons especially, I think have always been I think it was thought that these would be a valuable team to have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was a bit worried at the start of the season, because I was thinking with the emergence of the Forgotten Sons and Miz and Morrison, I was worried that the New Day were going to be treated as sort of transitional champions for the Money in the Bank title defense. But, you know, it's a great defense against three great tag teams. And I have to say, they're actually doing wonders for Gary right now, because, you know, Gary's normally doesn't do too well in given past seasons, but New Day has given him a much needed boost. So I think it's a very, very good pick from Gary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I remember when we were picking the teams, I made the mistake. I thought, well, New Day have held it quite often, and they lost them to Miz and Morrison. No, they'll probably put them on the Usos. And then Gary slipped in and took New Day, and I think it's proven that I was wrong and Gary was right on that occasion. And Jack, your team is Miz and Morrison, and I think it's fair to say that maybe Miz and Morrison will continue the feud with the New Day.
Yeah, I was saying last week, I was expecting the breakup to happen a bit soon. My only point is that they'd appear together every week, and maybe that's just how I'd get my appearance points, because they wouldn't really be fighting. But they're probably realistically the only kind of folk they can challenge the New Day right now. I think it's too early for the Forgotten Sons. It's Lucha House Party was just there to kind of fill a role, and then that's pretty much it. Obviously, you've got Otis is in his kind of singles running. Tucker probably won't be on TV for a while. So I think Miz and Morrison has probably proved to be quite a wise choice, because they're quite a consistent points getter for me every week. Fair enough, they've lost a couple of their matches that they've been on, but there's quite a few kind of promo bits that I want to get points from them. So I'm quite happy with my tag team picks have been pretty poor in the draft. So this has proven to be a good one, I think.
Yeah, just to add to your point there, Jack, looking at the SmackDown rankings, the New Day and Miz and Morrison are very close together in the rankings, just 2 points separating them, with New Day being the number two ranked scorers on the SmackDown, and Miz and Morrison are just below them at number three with 10 points. So both teams definitely very, very good picks in terms of setting his scores, and but obviously New Day's title defence has now bumped them up the rankings.
Yeah, and I think the best thing Jack note for is that if they do like a Miz and Morrison breakup, they do it around like SummerSlam time, so it's the end of the season, and you don't like the points that you might lose don't harm you too badly. But we'll move on to our number two ranked person this week, and it is probably shouldn't be a surprise. It is Bayley with 23 points. She had a strong defence at Money in the Bank over Tamina. She appeared again this past week's SmackDown confronting Charlotte Flair. And she's been like one of the best female scorers in the last few seasons of the history of the draft. And David, this has also bumped her up the top 10 point scorers of the season, tied with Charlotte Flair with 27. Given Bayley's history in the draft, I don't think we should be surprised that at this stage she's doing so well.
Now, Bayley's always, as we've seen in past seasons, Bayley has been an excellent point scorer. And, you know, she's been, in the past, she's been picked as a captain as well, which has obviously helped to her point accumulation. But yeah, it's obviously Bayley having the successful title defence against Tamina has put her on par with Charlotte Flair, and she's now overtaken Aleister Black as well, who has also been a consistent performer this season.
Jack, I think given Bayley's history, I don't think we should be surprised. I think it's a case of it just took a couple of weeks for her to finally get it back to her usual bit of momentum and be as beneficial as she has been in previous seasons. I think that's and she also is Steven's captain, so do you think it's proven like a smart choice for Steven to have her as his captain?
Aye, definitely, because it was I had Bayley last season. I think she managed to get like 82 or 83 points or something like that, and that managed to get me into kind of the top half come the end. That was because I made the captaincy switch from the Fiend to Bayley. Bayley's just, she's just one of those picks. It's always going to do you well, regardless of what position you're in. Like, I think this is the first time she went in like round one, didn't she? So yeah. Like, it was a blinder by prick Steven.
Yeah, and you're right, Jack. Yeah, Bayley got 83 points last season. The second highest scorer after Aleister Black.
Yeah, that's also a very good sign to how well Bayley does in the past, because we've talked about in the last few seasons, like how much, like how Aleister Black has basically climbed the rankings, and he's been one of Ross's best picks so far, in the fact that he was in the top three for a good while, and now Bayley's overtaken him.
It's only by 3 points, though, so it can all change on an instant.
Charlotte Flair's still up there, so which I have with, because she wasn't on Raw or NXT, but now this whole weird, what people are calling the wild card rule 2.0 or whatever it is, now means Charlotte is appearing on SmackDown, so 3-band Charlotte, I'm not complaining.
It's the Interbrand Invitational. That could help a lot of people in certain aspects.
Yeah, I mean, I know, like, booking-wise, it may not make any sense because we're meant to be in we may have, like, distinct brands with distinct rosters, but if you're on a particularly bad weekend, somebody who appears on Raw, and you've got a Raw-heavy team, they appear on SmackDown, where you may not have as many picks, I get you there, David. It probably could actually serve to help you have a better week than you would have had otherwise. And talking of Raw, basically the face of Raw, and I think who's been the highlight of Raw the last few weeks, and somebody who we talk about pretty much every week when we talk about the top three with 30 points, we have Drew McIntyre, the WWE champion, once again at the top. Jack, you've been covering Drew for the last few weeks on the Raw Report. I think he's been one of the most consistent people in the WWE right now, and his successful defense over Seth has really just improved like Grant's point totals.
I don't have the spreadsheet up in front of me, but I think it'd be fair to say if Grant never had Drew, he wouldn't be doing so well. Drew's kind of, he'd be carrying any team in this draft right now. And it's, as I said, it's probably the best, arguably the better of the two out between him and Charlotte now, because he's wrestling consistently every week and he's not losing. Obviously, he's had his title defense. He's in promo packages as well. He's, like I say, he's the face of Raw. He's the face of WWE right now. He's the top dog. I hate that he's doing Grant so well.
You don't want your team to be like carried by one person. You want to have a strong team, and he's kind of had a mixed like week so far. I mean, like Bliss and Cross lost in a non-title match, and We'll see how that works out for them next week, because their titles are on the line next week against the Iconics. Or whereas on the other side, on the AEW, Hikaru Shida is doing, like, starting to do better, and she's got an AEW women's title shot at Double or Nothing. So he's got a mixed bag of a team. I think some of them are doing well, some of them have picked up some losses, but I think it's fair to say that it's, like, I don't want to say Drew's carrying the team, but I think Grant would definitely be down a few places in the rankings if it wasn't for Drew.
Yeah, like, Drew is the one-man army on Grant's team at the minute, because at the moment, Drew is sitting on 50 points on his own, the top scorer this season so far. The rest of his team have less than 10 points each. I mean, that just goes to show how much, like, Drew is carrying Grant's team at the minute, because, I mean, sure, he's got Bliss and Cross, you know, making consistent appearances as well, and, you know, as aforementioned, Scott, they've got a title defense against the Iconics next week, so if they win that, they're just going to bump him up even further. I think Grant is in a very, very good position right now to possibly run away with this draft very early on.
I mean, like I said, he's been in the top three, like, pretty much every week since we started this season, but Money in the Bank, where he has a successful title defense over Seth, he doesn't look a thing like CrossFit Jesus. Rollins is really, I think this is the biggest margin, like, lead so he's had so far, because usually, like, ahead of, like, someone like Charlotte by, like, a few points, but, like, Bayley's at, like, 23 and he's got 30, and, like, it's more than just nearly almost 20 points over, like, New Day, who are in third, so, like, it's by a pretty significant margin that Drew is in the lead.
Yeah, and in the top 10 overall, there's a difference of 23 points between him and Charlotte, who's at number two. So Drew is a runaway number one pick in the top 10 so far. And it's only around, like, from second place to around fourth place, that's when the competition's a bit tighter. But Drew is running away with it right now.
Yeah, and I think the difference between him and Charlotte is that Charlotte's getting more appearance points, because being a heel champion, she's not one to wrestle all the time. Mostly she's just, like, only wrestling occasion when she has a worthy challenger, whereas Drew, being the face, he wants to be the fighting champion, so he's wrestling more and getting more, like, TV wins. And I think that is the main, like, difference. And like you said, like, there's not much that gets tighter after the top four. Shayna Baszler is still hanging around number five with 20 points, and I think she's definitely probably going to be the next challenger so for Asuka. So if this is the moment where she finally does get the title, Jack, hopefully your season will turn around.
I mean, I'm not having that bad of a season. I'm, like, 50 now. The only Kevin Owens is hampering it, but obviously I've got, like, 0 points in that. But the rest, maybe Cross is only kind of just getting started, but the rest of my team are kind of appearing every week. It's just, as I said from the beginning, my team's going to be a slow burner. And I reckon when it kind of gets to this near at the end of the season, I'll kind of catapult into this top three, I think. That's a strong bet.
Hi, Jack. Yeah. You've been fairly consistent so far. I think the only person that's not scored points for you is Kevin Owens. But then again, he's obviously been injured, so I suppose there's nothing you can really do about it. But, you know, you've got Shayna Baszler, you've got Brody Lee, and you've got Miz and Morrison all scoring consistent points. So I wouldn't rule you out of this just yet. You know, Shayna could get a big win for you, and then this whole table could be turned around.
That's what I'm betting on.
Yeah, because, like, Cross, given his debut, I think you've got some squash match wins coming in your near future. Although one of the main negatives against your team, Jack, is the fact that Kevin Owens, like, is also injured. He's currently previously it was Natalya that was the lowest scoring Raw pick, but then she appeared on Raw, so got an appearance point for Daniel Campbell and her loss to Shayna Baszler. So now that puts Kevin Owens in as the worst performing Raw pick at the moment. So, like you said, you've still got plenty of time to move up the rankings, and I think that's a good time to take us into the top 10. Congratulations to David Hockney here, still in last place with 22 points with your team.
Well, you know what? NXT did announce a new takeover in your house. They're bringing it back after the 25th anniversary. So if Cole and Dream have a rematch there, this could all turn around. So I'll sit tight for now until at least the transfer window.
Yeah. Ryan, with his team, the Boss Sackers, are in 28 and 9th place. The Elite Experience, Daniel Campbell, 39. Alan's team, the team that must not be named because it is blasphemous, 7th with 40. My team, here we go, two in a row, is in at 6 with 48. And I've flipped down a few places. That's fine. I'll admit I've not had the best weeks, but I'm not that worried just yet. Jack, as you said, your team, relegation, liquidation, still had the same draft team. I hope I got that right. 52 and 5th. Gary's team, Team Visita, at number 4 with 53. Seems team the top 1% at, with 60, even though you got to think if he had Otis as a singles competitor, maybe he'd be in number 1. Ross's team, the David Campbell Memorial 7, or the DC M7, if you prefer, second with 70. And no surprise, because of Drew's like big point lead this week, Grant is in at number 1 with Team Sheldon Graps, or whatever his hipster team is called, at 75 points. Any real surprises there?
I think one thing actually stood out to me is actually how well Gary's doing overall, because normally he's at the bottom of the table, usually around like, because he's finished usually around like 8th or 9th in previous seasons, but looking at him now, he's actually bumped up to 4th. And I think that obviously attributes to, you know, how well balanced his team is at the minute, because he's got the likes of Seth Rollins and the New Day, and also Daniel Bryan as well, who's also picking up points. I think also with the return of Jeff Hardy as well, that's going to help him out in the long run as well. So I think Gary's going to be the sleeper for this season. You know, he could, you know, sneak past everybody, but at the moment it is a two-horse race between Grant and Ross. But it's, you know, you've got Stephen just trailing behind on 3rd. So I think this is where it starts to get interesting.
I see you're saying you're surprised by like how well Gary's doing. I've said every week that like his team's one not to be kind of messed about with, because at any time he could just climb up straight away and he's in contention, and that's just proven to be happening. And the words of Jack Graham have come true yet again. You know what I mean?
I'm just going with the stats here. You know, we all said he had a pretty solid team last season as well, and he ended up finishing 9th. So I think this is the time where Gary could slip past everybody and put in a great performance.
Yeah, I mean, the top three, Stephen, Ross and Grant, they've been hovering around the top positions for the last couple of weeks, so it's no real surprise there. And Gary, you know, is somebody who David Campbell said was his kind of pick to win the whole season. And on paper, he's got a very strong team. And I know you said, David, you're kind of surprised that he was in a position, because usually he's around 8th. I think it's a case that we've seen in the past. Like, I really didn't get anywhere. I wasn't very good at this draft until around at season 3, where I finished kind of 2nd and then went on to win the following season. So sometimes with some people, you have to learn from previous season mistakes before you get to the other team that will actually help you win the season. Mm-hmm. And I think Gary's learning from past like seasons. Like, he made a mistake with like Lana and Rusev last season. And so I think he's finally learning. I think even if he doesn't finish top, I think he could finish in the top 3 easily.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I think he'll have a solid finish either way, but I think it would be incredible if he's able to pull out a win by the end of the season.
Mm-hmm. Well, something we've not mentioned yet, the blasphemous one, Alan McLucas went above us three and went straight to Stephen telling him about a captaincy switch for his team.
Oh yeah, forgot about
it. Oh yeah, good point, yes.
So he originally had Becky Lynch as his captain, mm-hmm. but obviously she's now pregnant and isn't going to be competing anymore. He's went to Stephen and announced that his captaincy switch will be to Cody, which, again, I said he should do that last week, and what's happened? It's happened. It's as if folk are finally listening to me, except from that one man, Stephen Wilson, but I digress. It's a brilliant captaincy switch, I think, to be fair, considering the finals of the TNT Championship tournament's coming up in Double or Nothing against your Lance Archer, Scott.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, usually I'd praise that pick, but again, he's coming up against one of my top picks, someone who I've got high hopes for Double or Nothing, so, you know, I'm not going to praise it too much. And I think what's funny about the whole change from having switching from Becky to Cody is that very much Alan McLucas is probably the only person in the world that is not happy for Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins right now, because it affects his season. But I think even if Becky stuck around, she was going to drop that title to whoever won Money in the Bank anyway, so I think he was out to lose points regardless.
But yeah, I think switching to Cody is probably the smartest move, because Cody is Alan's top scorer just behind the Viking Raiders. So Yeah, and obviously the Double or Nothing match, we could possibly see Cody be the first TNT champion, but if I was a betting man, I would go with Lance Archer to become the first TNT champion.
Of course, I mean, he probably won't win. Obviously, you don't go building up someone like Lance Archer for him to lose his first kind of big match, and then it's like guys kind of just throwing him to the side of irrelevancy. Like, Cody will never be irrelevant. He doesn't need the title to be kind of known in the company, and he's always going to be someone that appears weekly. So I'm surprised it took a pregnancy for Alan to change his captain, to be honest. It should have been done. He should have been his captain to begin with.
Yeah, I think the one fear I have about the whole thing with Cody is they keep making a point, oh well, Cody can't challenge for the AEW title anymore. But this is a new singles title, so like the idea basically this being like the conversation, like, oh, Cody's not going to be in the main event scene, but he is still going to be a champion and they're going to give him this belt, but like, everything they've done with Lance Archer in the last few, you know, putting him with Jake Roberts, which has been a really great pairing, and the dominant streak he's went on, I really hope that they keep the belt on Lance Archer, because I think it's the right choice for your first TNT champion.
And also, you're forgetting the fact Lance Archer's on your team as well, so I think you would be craving for a Lance Archer win at Double or Nothing.
Oh, I wasn't forgetting. I know the I know very fine well. Why do you think I even selected him if it wasn't for this tournament? talking about something else that affects the draft, I mean, it would be better if Stephen was here to explain it in further detail, but the transfer window, is, we have more information about that. Now, as we know, Backlash will be on the 14th of June, but starting following that from Monday the 15th all the way to Sunday the 21st of June will be the kind of the transfer window with a... You're basically only picking picks that haven't been picked yet. You can swap out low scoring and put players on your team for people who haven't been picked yet. Although there will be a day, I believe a Thursday of that week, will be solely for internal trades. So an opportunity for people to swap with picks and other competitors in the draft team. So if like I want to swap with someone on Jack's team, I would only be able to do it on Thursday. So, I look at it, it's slightly confusing the way Steven has worded it, and I think he has to go back to the drawing board the way he's explained this, and hopefully he can get his head out of his ass and come on and explain it. But I think we're in a bit Backlash, and also we've had In Your House and Dylan Nothing before that, so some big shows along the way in the season. So I think by that point, everyone will have a clear idea of like how their teams will form and who they need to transfer and who they need to get rid of to help improve their season.
And I'd like to propose this as well. I think the person who is currently in last place should be the first to call a transfer.
Talk shame.
Would that be silly because you are in last place currently, David?
You never know. I mean, you know, when's NXT TakeOver In Your House happening again? Is it before or after Backlash?
Is it the 4th of June or something?
Or is it? So it'll be before Backlash then. So you never know if say, for example, Velveteen Dream wins the NXT title, I would end up overtaking Ryan, and he would be the bottom of the table. So he could end up trading first.
I think it's fair to say me, Ryan, and Steven will all be looking for new tag teams, because it's been a singles guy who's doing nothing for Steven tag team-wise. Indy Share has not been on TV since the start of the season. And obviously, when the Usos is injured, then probably won't be back until sometime after the season has ended. So that is our current priority. You guys thinking about your picks yet? Or
I don't see Steven switching out Heavy Machinery, because that's too valuable a singles pick for someone else to get, and he would need to switch that out first before anyone can grab Otis as a single competitor. So like he could maybe just keep Heavy Machinery in the hope that it doesn't get other 4 points, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be a bold strategy, and you never know, Tucker could return at some point as well and they start teaming again. So I think maybe that'd be a smart move on Steven's part, just to avoid other people getting points. But my problem is I'm in a bit of a tight spot, because now Sami Zayn has been stripped of the Intercontinental title and is going to... there's been articles online saying that, you know, he's going to be quarantining himself until the pandemic's over. So I don't expect to see him making any appearances anytime soon. But at the same time, the Young Bucks haven't scored many points either. So yeah, I'm in a bit of a jam here with who.
It's fair to say you need an absolute rework, considering that it's probably going to be a points penalty we'll take for transferring folk. You don't really have much points to afford to lose.
I know, exactly. So
it's a hard one. I've really only kind of got one person I want to switch, and that's Owens, obviously being injured. The rest I'm quite confident about making appearances each week or at least being in a match. So unless an unfortunate injury or pregnancy or something happens, I'll need to get drafting.
About the Bucks on your team, David. I mean, they are, Nick Jackson is returning as part of the big 5-on-5 stadium stampede match against the Inner Circle. Mm-hmm. So that looks like following Dylan Huston, the Young Bucks could be back on TV regularly. So I think tie team wise you're set, but I would say Sami Zayn is probably a right choice to get transferred, and we're not quite sure just yet how the points penalty will work, because I don't think you should be receiving any penalties if you're transferring someone who scored you 0 points.
I'm basically working with half a team here, so I basically have to decide who am I going to get rid of in exchange for someone who's definitely going to get me points.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so we'll make sure I give you more updates about the transfer window as we get closer to the time, and I'm sure, given that we'll have an episode that week during the last couple of days of the transfer window, we'll have a lot of updates regarding teams and captaincy changes to possibly bring you, so that'll be a very interesting episode when we get to it. One more point of order I need to make before we leave here today is that, now I mentioned that Ross got the points for Asuka, and he also won the sweep for Money in the Bank, which makes Ross currently the SSR champion. Good for him. And we're currently we're in the process of creating a new Patreon in the tin holder who will then have an opportunity at the SSR title whenever they want. But I have a couple of more questions to ask you guys. David, what do you get if you win a season of this draft?
An opportunity at the SSR title on Saturday Draft Live.
That's right. And Jack, who won season 4 of this draft?
I believe it was your good self, my co-host, Scott McLeod.
It was me, yes. So now you're saying that I have an opportunity to have a new title match on Saturday Draft Live, at least before SummerSlam, and currently my brother is the champion. And just want to put that out there, you know, it's very interesting, you know. We're going to have to get around to that. I mean, I worry about Jack, you know, if we're doing this on a week that Jack is hosting, you know, it'd be like Sophie's Choice for poor Jack. You know, he does this show with me, he does the Raw Report with Ross. I wouldn't want him caught in the middle of all that. But I just want to throw that out there that, yeah, Ross may have made a champion for now, you know, and I may have unjustly had the title taken off me, even though I wasn't in the debating chamber before WrestleMania. But I'm just saying, like I've said before, I'm like Charlotte Flair. You cannot keep that title away from me. And I'll
You'd be between a rock and a hard place when that eventually comes up, but I'm sure that when it does happen, me and Dave can come together for a question, I can answer it, and then Dave can reveal who the champion is, so I don't need to pick a favourite. I'm just asking the question, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And I have to raise the hand of one of the two McLeods, which is something I never thought I'd probably do.
That's an honour.
I know, what are you talking about, David? Jesus. But I think with all that said, we're going to have to leave you right now. I want to thank Jack once again for being here on a good Saturday.
Right, thank you very much, Scott. And I'd like to thank you too, as I forgot to thank you as last week, and I just abruptly ended the show. So apologies for that.
Yeah, it's like when your father won't tell you he loves you. He doesn't have to say it. You know he feels it, though.
And you don't of course.
We know you're thankful to have us here. And thank you to talk to.
Thanks for another good episode.
All right, we're gonna have to leave you this one, Seamus. I'm looking in my kitchen, and I can see those indie sausage rolls for me. Goodbye.